I'd like to certainly ask for your prayers again today, and I want to read some scripture today. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I have somewhat of a lengthy reading this morning, so I certainly ask for your patience. Acts chapter 2, I want to begin reading with the first verse of this chapter. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's reading 21 verses, the first 21 verses of Acts chapter 2, for a scripture reading today. And the thought that is very much upon my heart and mind today that I would like to try by the help of God to share with you is I'd like to call your thoughts to the work and the effects of the Holy Spirit of God. So we're going to talk a little bit about what might be commonly referred to as the third person of the Godhead. God is there. The Bible tells us there is one God. only one God, one true and living God, but within that Godhead that there are three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak today about the work and the effect of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what took place here was the fulfillment of a promise that Jesus had made to his church. That's exactly what I believe was taking place here on the day of Pentecost when these things happened to them. I'm going to say this again, that I do not believe that this was the beginning of the Lord's church. What I do believe is that it was the fulfillment of a promise that he had made to them, that he would bestow upon them this great power. And I want to go back and just share a verse that's found in the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and I want you to see what this promise was. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus had said this to his disciples after his crucifixion and his resurrection. In Luke 24, 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And if you go back and you read there in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you will find out that that's exactly where they were at. They were in the city of Jerusalem, and they were gathered together, and they were unified, they were of one mind, and they were of one accord, and they were praying, and they were waiting upon the Lord to fulfill what he had promised to them would come. And this word here in Luke 24, 49, when Jesus instructed them that they were to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. That word there, endued, if you go back to what that meant in the original language, it was in reference to the putting on of a garment. And so what the Lord was telling them and promising them was that they were going to be clothed with power. He was going to cover them with this great power. And so when the day of Pentecost was come, and they were assembled together in one accord, in one place, the Bible says that suddenly, out of nowhere, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, Jesus, if we look at the 14th chapter, really the 14th through the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and those are such interesting chapters, Jesus had begun to prepare his church for the fact that he was going to be leaving them. And he spoke to his disciples there. And I'm going to say this before I, and then go back to that. But I believe with all my heart, and if you study throughout the Gospels and you study into the Acts of the Apostles, you're going to reach the same conclusion. These people here that this great power came upon there on the day of Pentecost, they were the people that, they were the material that was prepared through the work of John the Baptist for the Lord to build his church. That's who these people were. They were his church. And it was only his church that this promise was given to. God did not give this promise to civil government. He did not give this promise to any social institution. God made the promise solely to his church that they were going to be endued, that they were going to be clothed upon with great power. And I believe that it was his church that did receive that promise, and that the power of the Holy Spirit has rested upon the Lord's church ever since that promise was fulfilled. And so we still have that same power today. And so they were suddenly filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, going back to those three chapters in John, as I said, Jesus had begun to prepare his church for the fact that he was going to be leaving. We read there in the 14th chapter of John that he told them not to let their heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And don't worry, because if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. But he assured them that in his absence, that he was not going to leave them alone. That they were not going to be abandoned. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send another. And in the 26th verse of John chapter 14, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now that's something that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his church that when he comes, that he will bring things to your remembrance that I have taught you. And also in the 16th chapter of John, in the 8th verse, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that word there, reprove, is the same thing as convict. He will reprove, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so we see these things as distinct work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to notice this as we speak here for just a moment about the effect of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go back into the Old Testament, you're going to read about the Holy Spirit of God being in the world all along. What's one of the first things that we're told in the Scriptures? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so we find the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, spoken of from the very beginning. Now, something that I think that you will notice, if you study the Old Testament Scriptures, you will see a lot of examples of times when the Holy Spirit would move upon one individual and would help them to be able to accomplish something. If you go back to the 14th chapter of Judges and you read about the time that Samson was able to subdue and kill the lion that came against him, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And you'll find many examples of that throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, of somebody in a certain situation, under certain circumstances. It'll say the Holy Spirit of God came up on them and they were able to accomplish a certain feat. Now here, in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we read of the Lord pouring out his Spirit upon them collectively. We read about him pouring out his Spirit upon his church. And the Apostle Peter said that this is not, you mockers, you that are mocking this, that are mocking what you're seeing and saying, well, these men must be full of new wine. They must be drunk with wine. The Apostle Peter said, listen, this is not the result of an intoxicating drink. This is a fulfillment of a 700 or 800 year old prophecy that was prophesied by Joel when it was foretold that this was going to come, that God would in the last days pour his Spirit out upon his people. And so that's what has taken place here at Pentecost. Now, I want you to notice this as we think a little bit about the effect of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be able today, thank God in heaven, that we're going to be able today to relate to this. These people, they were gathered together, and the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, all the house where they were sitting. And when this power was poured out upon them, they began to do things that they never could have even thought about doing on their own. This power produced something here that could have only happened through the power of God. All of these Jews that were gathered from every nation under earth began to hear the gospel in their own language. What a miracle that this was. What effect that this Holy Spirit power had. And I'm going to tell you something. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, when God manifests himself, when he manifests his presence by his Holy Spirit, there are still wonderful things that happen today as a result of that. Listen, the Bible tells us one of the things that we are instructed in the Word of God is that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, we are to yield to that, and we are to allow him to have his way, and we are not to
we are not to try to squelch that.
And I believe that's what was being spoken of when the Apostle Paul gave the instruction not to quench the Holy Spirit. We're not to squelch that. We are to give in to that and to let the Lord have his way with us, because, listen, when the Lord moves and manifests his power, he wants to do wonderful things. He sure does. And so there was a miraculous thing that took place here that day when God poured out his power. I don't know how that you look at this, but I think of this as, this wasn't just something that trickled down. If we think about, generally, if we think about the pouring out of something, we may often think about something of a liquid substance, something being poured out. And when I look at that this way, this wasn't something that was just trickling down in little drops. It was poured out upon them. They were immersed in the power of God. And these wonderful things began to happen among them. Folks, I'll tell you what, we need to tap into that power. We need to pray every time that we come together and we assemble ourselves to worship
We ought to pray that God would just manifest his power among us. We need Holy Ghost power, don't we? We need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God because we won't accomplish anything without him. They would have never been able to accomplish what took place here by their own power if they would have been relying upon themselves for this. Then all of these people would have never heard the gospel in their own language. But the Bible tells us how that the Spirit gave them utterance. Have you ever noticed, and I'm sure that you have, perhaps I shouldn't ask the question, I just should say, I'm sure that you have noticed that when the Holy Spirit of God manifests himself, and listen, that's exactly what he is. He is a person. He is a person. The third person of the Godhead. And when he manifests himself, suddenly, everything is different, isn't it? How many times have you experienced this? How many times have you experienced being assembled just like we are this morning? We have come together here today for worship. Like the old song says, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. But all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down and moves among us, because we know that without him we can do nothing. But how many times in your life, think about it, if you've been around the old time missionary Baptist for very long, you've experienced this. How many times have you been seated in a service, been in an assembly just like we are today? The song leader may lead some songs and we're just there and we're doing the things that we do when we come together to worship. But then suddenly everything changes. Suddenly there's something, suddenly there's someone that we feel. We are made to sense the presence of a divine being. We feel something moving upon our hearts. And the next thing you know, somebody may break forth shouting or testifying. And suddenly everything has changed, hasn't it? I'll tell you what, when God makes his presence known, everything changes. This week, when we were in the state of Virginia, I want to tell you, 2 days ago, on Friday, just a little bit later in the day than what it is here, I was preaching. I wasn't behind a pulpit. I was standing out in the woods. I was standing right in front of a monument that marks the place where some of our Baptist forefathers were arrested and taken to prison. I was standing out there in front of that monument in the woods with trees all around me. I didn't have a suit and tie on. I was wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes, and I was bringing a message there in that setting, and I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit of God made his presence known, and people begin to rejoice, and people begin to testify. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord meets with his people, and he doesn't respect the place. God will meet with us wherever we're at. He won't refuse to meet with us because we meet in the woods. Didn't God meet with us in a tent back in the spring? He met with us here too, didn't he? During the summer revival. We held some services in some old church buildings. And listen, the congregations that meet there, sadly enough, have gone many years ago. They left the truth behind, and they went off chasing other things. But I'll tell you what, when we assembled in those old buildings and we began to worship, the Lord was with us, and He poured His Spirit out upon us, and He poured His power out upon us. And I wish every one of you could have been there and felt that. We got a blessing, didn't we? We got a great blessing from that. And, you know, listen, and perhaps you have done the same thing. We get accused of so many things by the religious world. But I'm telling you what, there are people that assemble themselves together, and God's just not with them. The Spirit of God is just not with them. I'll tell you what He will do. He will bear witness to the truth. And if we're going to feel His presence, and we're going to know that God is among us, we're going to have to bear witness to the truth, aren't we? We're going to have to preach the truth. We're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth, because the Holy Spirit of God will only bear witness to the truth. And listen, you know, I appreciate history. I'm a history buff. I love history. I especially love to read Baptist history. But sometimes the old records can become obscured. There have been records that have been lost. Sometimes I believe in church succession, but sometimes it's hard to link all of that together. Sometimes you might have one historian that may give a different account of what another one did. Those men didn't write under the same inspiration that men did when they wrote the scriptures. And so sometimes they're subject to their own thought about something. Listen, I'll tell you what, if you want to find the people of God throughout the ages and in the world today, you look for the people that are upholding the truth and that the Holy Spirit of God is among them. And you'll find the people of God, because He promised us His Spirit. He promised us His power. He promised that it would be with us, that He would be with us, and that He would give us of His Spirit. Have you ever been struggling with something in the scriptures? Have you ever been struggling with something in the scriptures, trying to understand it, and then all of a sudden the Lord would just make it plain to you? He can work in our minds and give us understanding and teach us. There's not a better teacher than the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, when we feel His presence, when we feel His moving, we like that, don't we? We like that. There's a liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when God moves upon us, He sets us free. And for a little while at times, we're able to just lay everything down. We're able to put everything beside us. I'll tell you what, when I get caught up in the Spirit of the Lord, I'm able to forget all about the temporal things of this world and just enter into a place where I'm at fellowship with God. Isn't that great to experience that and to know that? You know, when I was just a boy, the Spirit of God began to work on me. I'll tell you what, one of the biggest problems with this modern day watered down evangelism, one of the biggest problems is they've took the Holy Spirit completely out of it. I'll tell you what, people aren't really going to come to the Lord and repent of their sins until the Holy Spirit of God reproves them of their sin, until the Holy Spirit of God convicts them of their sin. And then when that happens, you're going to see people that are broken and are sorry for their sins. You're not going to see people that are just walking down an aisle smiling like there's not a thing in the world wrong with them and just say that they're the ones that decide to accept the Lord. When God convicts you of your sin, if you'll do what you should do, you'll be begging Him to take you. Amen. You'll be begging Him to accept you. Amen. He worked on my heart and He convicted me and He showed me that I was a sinner. Let me tell you something. If God has done that to you here today, if God has moved up on your heart and made it known to you that you're a sinner, that you're lost and separated from God, you need to come to Him, friend. You need to come to Him today, and you need to seek Him for the salvation of your soul, because though it feels bad, God is doing that for your good. He's showing you through that you are in need of a Savior, that there's something wrong in your heart, and that you need a change. If the Holy Spirit of God has made it known to you that you're a sinner, don't take that lightly today. You need to come to the Lord and you need to seek Him for the salvation of your soul. Because I'm going to tell you this, when you meet God's conditions, when you repent of your sins and you turn to the Lord and you meet His conditions, there's something that's going to happen to you in your heart, and that same Holy Spirit is going to let you know that it happened. Don't worry about in your mind. Don't let your mind get all clouded up wondering how you're going to know, because God will let you know. You don't have to worry about that. If He saves you, He'll let you know. And the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Romans that it's the Holy Spirit that does that. That's His work. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen? Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about today? You know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced that? Have you experienced the Spirit of God convicting you of your sins? Boy, I remember Sister Laura Jackson. I was thinking about it just the other day. I remember the trouble that poor lady got into when she realized she was lost. You could see it written all over her face that God was dealing with her. When she got saved. And it's the same for all of us. When we get saved, God takes that all away, doesn't He? And lets us know that He's touched us down in our soul. Why don't you ask me today how I know I got saved? I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit told me. I don't know about all these people in the world today. I feel bad for them. But all these people in the world today that have let some preacher tell them whether or not they're saved. Brother Lowe, when I got saved, there wasn't even a preacher there. I didn't need one, though. God was able to do it all. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. But I believe this. I do. I believe this. I believe that His church was and is
and will be the only organization, the only people on the face of the earth to whom that promise was given, that I'm going to pour my power out upon you, and it's going to be with you for perpetual generations until I come. And you know, I drove about 11 hours to get over there to Virginia. Well, the Lord, he just shows up. The Holy Spirit, he just shows up wherever he wants to, doesn't he? He shows up wherever he's pleased to see his people worship, praise him. And thank God that we've got something real. Thank God that we've got something that we can feel. And we need to just always desire, whenever we assemble, to desire the presence of the Holy Spirit of God among us. I want to ask Brother Strode to lead a song. And I just want to encourage everybody. You know, I can't see your hearts, but God can. And I want to encourage everybody, whether you know the Lord today or you don't know the Lord today, do what the Spirit moves you to do. Because if you're lost, He will deal with you and draw you to come to Him, and you need to do that. And if you're saved, I don't know what He will have you do. He may move upon your heart. He may not at all, but He may move upon your heart today to testify or whatever. Let's not quench the Spirit of God. Let's yield to that, to what He would have us to do while we sing.
Number eight. We don't do this song much. We need your help. This fills in so much with the subject this morning. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, have mercy and grace. Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence there's healing divine. No other power can save, Lord, but Thine. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Fill all the hungry and empty within. Rescue us, oh Father. Revive us again. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Let's go back to the chorus. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, have mercy and grace. Thou art welcome in this place. Amen.